All right, good morning, everybody. For those of you who may not know, Dave, of course, is not here with us, or he'd be standing here instead of me, but I guess that was an obvious statement, but he is actually at a management conference. It's called Rhythm in 20. It's something that he's applied for, something where he's really going to try to develop his skills and things like that, so we certainly appreciate him wanting to better himself, to be able to come and serve all of us better. So that's where he's at to here this morning. So it gives me the privilege of being able to bring the message here this morning. And the first thing I want to talk about is football, because that's what you talk about. It's Sunday. No. I am going to talk about football, but not because it's Sunday. Professional football season just started again. It started Thursday night. And I know many of you were probably happy to see the Steelers lose. But and I know we all have varying opinions on who the best team is or who we'd like to root for. And that makes it a lot of fun. But overall, the teams that tend to do the best are the teams where everybody's involved and everybody does their part to work to make that organization successful. So when you think about an organization such as a pro football team, and how successful they are, most of the people that you think about are probably the players and the coaches. You could probably name the players and the coaches off your favorite team. You know what they do. They're the most visible part of the organization. How successful that team is depends upon how each part of that team operates, how each player is playing. Is that player in their best position? Are they operating at their best? You can't have a quarterback that can't throw. Can't have a receiver that can't catch. But you can have maybe the best quarterback and the best receiver, but they still might not be successful if the linemen don't do their part and give them time to be able to throw and catch. You also need coaches to design plays so the offense can work together to score points. When all these things come together and everyone's giving their best, that's when the offense is successful. It takes all these things and more to make the offense of the team successful. When the offense is successful, is the organization successful? Not necessarily. If your defense can't stop anybody, that's the other part of the team. Then you're certainly not going to be successful overall. So if you have that defense working together and the offense working together, does that mean you're going to be successful? Well, not necessarily there either. If the equipment manager doesn't do his part, get all the equipment there to the games for the players, then they're not going to be able to suit up and they're not going to be able to do their jobs the way they need to be able to do that. If their trainers don't do their part and take care of the players, injuries and things like that, then they still won't be successful. If the field maintenance crew doesn't get the field ready for the game, there won't be a place to play. And the organization still won't be successful. If the ball boys don't put the right amount of air in the ball, well, maybe that wasn't a good example. So, but my point to all this is there are many, many people that all work together, doing their part and giving their best to make these organizations successful at what they do. I believe it takes the same great effort of everyone doing their part and giving their best to make the church successful. We're going to look today at Romans 12, and I'm not going to have anything on the screen, so if you have your Bibles with you, if you want to open up to that, that's where we're going to read from and examine. But before we do that, I want us to consider what it means for the church to be successful. And that can be defined a number of different ways. But I think one of the simplest ways to define it is the goal of the church should be to bring people closer to Jesus. I mean, Matthew 28:19 gives us the Great Commission saying, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I believe this is something that every one of us plays a role in. We all need to do our part to give our best towards the goal of bringing people closer to Jesus. So let's go ahead and let's read Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray, Lord, as we go through these scriptures that we've just read, that you would just open our eyes and that you would just give me the words to convey the meaning that you have behind them, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of examine what I think is the meaning behind them. And I want to look at what they actually mean for us as a church body. Verses 1 and 2 say, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." These verses talk about giving your whole body to Christ. It's about being present. It's about being in worship on Sunday mornings. It's about being involved. Using your whole body for whatever God needs you to do. Think about what's pleasing to God and give him those things as your worship. Worship's much more than coming and singing and listening to a message. It's what you do with your body, with your mind. It also talks about renewing your mind. This needs to be done by spending time in the Word, learning about Jesus, spending some time in prayer, listening to what God's trying to tell you his will is for you. So how would that fit into our goal of bringing people closer to Jesus? It boils down to, we need you to be here. We need you to be at worship service. We need you to be involved with other activities. We need you to study the Bible. You never know when someone's going to come walking through the door. Maybe it's someone who knows you. They see you here. They come back next week because they know you're here. Maybe it's someone you don't know, but maybe something you say to them, a word of encouragement, encourages them to come back next week to learn more about Jesus, to learn more about what we do here. Maybe that person is here for you. Maybe you need friendship, companionship, someone to talk to. Maybe as you get to know that person, that becomes someone that can help you. But if you're not here, you're not involved, you're not doing your part and offering your best to God, then that person may not know, come to know God. And we may not be as successful as a church as God wants us to be. We take a closer look at verses 3 through 8. They say, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment and according with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I think verse 3 there really kind of goes along with the analogy of my football team from earlier. None of us should think more highly of ourselves than we should. We all want to come here. We all want to serve Christ. We all have different talents, different abilities. But without the help of everybody here, we just won't be successful the way God wants us to be. We can be good at the things that we do for Christ, and we can give our best in everything. But without the rest of the church working together, it'll be very difficult for us to succeed. Verses 4 to 8 talk about the many talents and abilities that God has given us through his grace. The most important thing that I take from these verses is if you have a talent, then you need to use it. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. Encourage, encourage. Give, give generously. And on through that list. But to me, that's just a short list of the talents and abilities that God has given us. If your talent's singing, then sing. If it's playing an instrument, then play. If it's cooking, then cook. If it's cleaning, then clean. If it's working with your hands, then fix things. If it is working with kids, then get involved with the youth. If it is making someone smile, then tell jokes. Whatever your talent is, you need to find it and you need to figure out a way to be able to use that talent that God has given you for his glory. You need to take that talent and you need to give your best to God. So how does this fit into our goal of helping bringing people closer to Jesus? People want to attend a church where they feel welcome, that is clean, where they enjoy the music, where they like the message, that is hospitable, where they can learn, where there are programs for their kids and their grandkids, where they can get involved. For this to happen, it takes all of us to work together and to give our best talents to allow people to know God and make the church successful. Let's move on to verses 9 through 13. They say, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. What I get out of these verses is that they all talk about loving and caring for other people. It talks about serving the Lord by having a sincere love for the people around you. It talks about helping those in need. I think one of the best ways that we can help somebody else find out about the Lord is to try to make things better for them. This means when we come to worship, we should be thinking, what can I do to make this time better for someone else? How can I help that new family that just walked through the door? Do they know where the restroom is? Do they know where to hang their coats? Do they know where their kids should go? Is there somebody there to teach their kids? Do they know where the coffee and snacks are? Did somebody make the coffee this morning? how can I help make this day better for someone else to allow them to know God better? How does that fit into bringing us to our goal of bringing people closer to Jesus? If we all ask ourselves, how can I make worship better for each person here? If I ask, how can I make this better for Sharon or for Leonard or for Paul or for Gary or for Melissa? If I'm asking that about every person here, and you guys all do the same thing, you all ask, how can I make it better for this person and that person, and you make it better for me, then I don't have to worry about what my needs are, because everybody here is concerned about what my needs are, the same way I'm to be concerned about what everybody else's needs are. And if we all come with that attitude, then everybody's needs are going to get taken care of just the way everybody else's does. The rest of Romans chapter 12 reads, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If we're all working towards the same goal of bringing people closer to Jesus, then we need to put any differences aside. We need to be willing to help each other. We need to be willing to accept help from each other. We need to be willing to accept change. We need to open up our classes, our ministries, and our groups and accept those that want to be involved. How does this fit into our goal of bringing people closer to Jesus? People want to attend a church where they feel welcome and wanted. They want to get involved. They want to feel like they're a part of a church family. So to sum things up, for us to be a successful church, achieving our goal of bringing people closer to Jesus, then we need to do a few things. The first thing is we need to be present. We need to be involved with our church body and our mind. We need to be here. Worship time Sunday morning is important, but there are many other opportunities to get involved. There's Sunday school for all ages after church. There's Bible studies through the week and on Saturdays. There's youth group on Tuesday nights. There's a number of ministries to be able to get involved in. Let someone you know, or let someone know what your interests are, and we can find a way to help guide you into being able to be more involved in the church. And this will help us bring us closer to bringing people closer to Jesus. The second thing we need to do is we need to look for the talents and abilities that God has graced us with. Not only do we need to find the talents, we need to use them. There's many ministries out there right now that need help. We need help picking people up for church on the van Sunday mornings. We need someone to take over the cafe ministry, making coffee and getting snacks for Sunday mornings. We're just looking for someone with the time to do it. We try to staff the nursery and three other age groups on Sunday mornings. We need people that can help with that. We need people that will volunteer, or some of those services may go away. We need help with youth group on Tuesday nights. If teaching kids maybe isn't your thing, then maybe cooking is, and you can come and help prepare dinner for those kids You can make it come and help clean up. Maybe you could drive the van Tuesday nights. There's all kinds of things, ways that you can use your talents to get involved, even if it doesn't seem like it may be a perfect fit for you. These are just a few of the opportunities that you have to be able to get involved. And when you get involved, it's going to help us achieve our goal of bringing people closer to Jesus. The third thing is you need to ask yourself, what can I do to make things better for someone else? If we're all asking the same question, then our needs will be met along with everyone else's. And that will certainly help bring people closer to Jesus. And the fourth and final thing is we need to work together. We need to be willing to help. We need to be willing to accept help. We need to be willing to accept change, to try to do what's best for somebody else. We need to reach out to everyone and include them in everything that goes on at the church. And if we do that, then I really think that we will be successful in bringing people closer to Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all the blessings that you give to us, Lord. We thank you for this church building that you provided. We thank you for the opportunity to be here to be able to talk to people about Jesus and the wonderful things that he's done for us, and ultimately that he was willing to come here to be our Savior, to be a sacrifice for us, even though we fall short of all glory, Lord, that it's through his grace that we're able to do these things. I just pray today, Lord, that we would have a heart of giving for you, that we would give of our time, give of our talents, give of our resources, just to be able to tell somebody else about you and about Jesus and about the great things that he's done for us. I just pray, Lord, that we would just continue just to come together and work together, Lord, for this common goal. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.